Hello, and welcome to episode 51 of the Live to Walk Again podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Dixon. With me, as always, Brandon Stevens. Brandon, say hello to the people.
Jay, what's up, man? I'm so happy. I'm so excited to be here today. This is, I'm just so excited for this podcast in general now.
I know,
not that I wasn't before. It's just, I just love the direction it's going in and the guests and the momentum we're picking up and the inspiration around it.
Yeah, no, it's been fun, man. I was just telling somebody yesterday, I told you again this, I think we recorded 3 podcasts in like 20 hours yesterday, between yesterday and the day before, which is pretty cool. And now here we are again.
Yeah.
So
you're living the lifestyle for sure, man. Yeah. Like, and I'm just proud, man, because I listen to your interviews and you're a good interviewer and your skills are getting better and better at that. And you're holding the podcast down, man. And you're really spreading the message.
I appreciate it, man. I don't know if I would say I was good, but I mean, I think I am getting better.
I agree.
It's going well, man. I think we're having like you said, we're getting it's going in a positive direction for sure. And
today is no different.
Today I was able, shout out to friend of the podcast, Kai Bickle.
Kai, he gets us a lot of good guests on this podcast.
He really does hook it up, man. And today is no different. He was able to, get us David Avocado Wolf, which, is a pretty huge name in, the superfood space and the longevity. He's a big advocate of longevity, and I recorded that interview yesterday, which was pretty amazing, man. And he gives us a lot of really cool, different things to try. Like, he's a lot of stuff we've already talked about on the podcast, like lion's mane mushrooms and things like that. But yeah, I mean, he also came at us with some legit stuff.
Yeah, different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we're brewing up some tea right now.
Oh yeah, we got the Devil's Club tea brewing,
given to us by
Shaw Ayal,
and so we're gonna give that. I don't know. Have you tried any yet, Jeremy?
Well, I tried some with her the day we were recording.
Yeah, that was cool, man.
And it's great, man.
I loved that podcast because it was almost like a I don't know. I could hear her like making the teas and like working as you guys were doing it. And it was a cool, man. It was like a cool atmosphere. I really actually enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. It was a really good podcast. It wasn't actually her making it. It was just Willie got up to get a drink of water.
Oh, really?
And didn't realize how loud it was going to be.
I was like, oh, dude, they're like making teas. That's crazy.
It's funny though. Yeah. I just couldn't cut it out because she was saying some great stuff when Willie was getting a glass of water.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Willie doesn't do technology, but that's cool, man. It sounded like maybe you guys were like in some sort of like you were outdoors or like, I don't
know,
in the field or something.
It was just here in the Live to Walk Again studios, man. We were having a great time. And,
well, you could have just left it. You didn't have to spoil it, man.
Yeah,
you should have been like, oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. It was awesome either way, man. Yeah. So I had a great time with that.
So we're going to have some Devil's Club tea today.
And I just want to remind everyone to listen to the podcast, rate it, review it anywhere you can listen. You can definitely at least follow us. I know Apple Podcasts allows you to rate and review, which we appreciate any feedback you want to give us. And
I've moved over to Spotify myself, so
yeah, I listen a lot on Spotify. I listen to a lot of podcasts on Spotify now, but I do still listen to Apple Podcasts.
A lot of pods. You gotta call them pods, man.
Yeah, when we're this deep in the game, you gotta call it a pod.
You gotta speak the jargon.
Yep.
But it's gonna be a good interview today, but
If anybody wants, I was gonna say, man, if anybody wants to send us Bitcoin, we will not be giving you back double, but if you want to contribute to the podcast,
we accept
that's
Bitcoin.
That's a Twitter hack reference.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Brandon, what else is new with you, man?
You know, I've just I've been kind of inspired by some of these recent podcasts we've been having, I guess, more so you than me, and I've just been like taking that extra time to focus on healthy eating again, because I found myself starting to get away from that, and especially like right now when your immune system needs to be in top shape. And I really think that that's probably one of the best things you can do to fight the coronavirus, or, you know, any sickness in general, or for yourself, Jeremy, having yourself, you know, be ready to be a patient zero type of person. And so I, you know, got right back on some of the elderberry syrups, and I'm excited to try this tea.
Yeah, the tea is where it's at. I know yesterday you were in a group chat with a few friends on our text message chain, and
yeah,
you had posted in there an update, I guess, that you received from the University of Washington Medical Center about a possible antiviral that would treat the COVID-19. Maybe you should talk about that for a second.
Well, yeah, because obviously in our earlier adventures of the podcast, we used to talk a lot about what was going on with my legs and my hamstrings and stuff like that, which, I mean, real quick update, that's going real well. I've made it I'm a lot better now from that. But regardless, I had gone to the UW Medical Sports Science, or Sports Medicine, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, I belong to their email list, and late last night, man, I got an email. I guess it wasn't too late. I had just read it late. But nevertheless, the University of Washington, they sent an email saying they have an antibody that neutralizes coronaviruses. So researchers at the University of Washington School of Medicine, they have identified an antibody that can stop coronavirus in their tracks. So that was huge. I mean, like, you don't just send emails out
right
for random things unless right you feel confident enough to speak about it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's including the SARS-CoV-2, which we currently have right now, right? That's the virus that causes coronavirus. COVID-19.
Right.
And so the antibody specifically called S309, and was first found in a blood sample of a patient that recovered from SARS way back in 2003. So they pulled that one back out, those samples, and they're like, hey, man, let's see what we can find out about SARS from 2003, which, remember, that was now, and I think about that now, I remember SARS being kind of a big thing back then, and nobody really took it seriously because it never took off, right?
Right, not at all, yeah. I was just like, oh, and same with, like, there's been a few.
Bird flu,
swine flu, all that. Anyway, go ahead.
So this one works by attaching to the coronavirus spike-like exterior, effectively, like, rendering the virus useless, right, by preventing entry into host cells and hindering the reapplication.
That's all. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So I think that the spikes on those cells must be able to like infiltrate others. So like that must be mm-hmm what gets them into the host cells. So yeah, I mean, that's huge, man.
So they've got an accelerated path forward for that. But I mean, I feel like as far as vaccines go, maybe the antibodies would be the most promising and maybe less invasive.
Well, that's what I heard when this all started, that if they could get an antiviral, that would be the best, like, I mean, better than a vaccine, because I don't think a vaccine can necessarily
vaccine just gives you a lower, like, don't most, like, flu shots, don't they just give you a lower potent type of the virus put it in your, and then create your own antibodies? Is that how it works?
I believe so.
Anyways, I'm obviously no medical professional when comes, but I would rather them have antibodies to give to me rather than my body have to produce them, maybe.
Right. And then, yeah, you don't know if your body's going to produce
the right ones.
The right ones. And
yeah, and the different strains that start to to mutate along and start to
And then I don't know about this one, if it, you know, if you get the antibody shot or whatever, however they give it to you, if that is like good across the board for, because I mean, I know I've heard that coronavirus or the COVID-19 has mutated a couple of times already, so I don't know. We're not medical professionals, but
well, we I mean, the fact that it's shown that they found it to be effective already,
right?
So on some of the early patients of coronavirus here in Seattle area, which was one of the first places hit, so that actually probably did give us a little bit of a leg up in order to start researching it first, because there's you know, time is of the essence, dude.
Right, you know?
So
well, hey man, let's get to the one and only David Wolf, hear about some amazing, you know, ways that we should be eating, for not only, people that are dealing with spinal cord injuries and paralysis, but, you know, people in your situation, Brandon, walking around, what you should and shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a situation, so just like.
True.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, yeah, let's, we'll get to David Wolf right here, and, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay, so this week's guest on the Live to Walk Again podcast is none other than longevity and superfood expert, and founder of the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, David Avocado Wolf. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. And it's great to hear your voice, because I've heard you before, because you and Kai had done a show together way back when, I think the Jeremy Walk Again Project, if I recall that correctly.
Yeah.
So your voice sounds familiar, and it's good to finally meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you too, man. I really appreciate you taking that. I know you're a super busy guy, so I appreciate you taking a few minutes out to join us. So, you know, the Live to Walk Again podcast, we have a foundation as well, and basically our goal is to, find a cure for paralysis eventually, but at the same time, we need to, you know, while we're waiting for the technologies to get there, we need to, be able to live our best lives, live our healthiest life. And, you know, that's why I really have been wanting to get a hold of you for a while now and just kind of find out, what kind of, you know, I guess being in a wheelchair and paralyzed, we're not able to do as much like cardio or exercise as a person that's walking. So what are the best foods that we should be looking for to eat?
Fantastic. Great question. Well, I think number one is eating more raw food and making sure you get your vegetables and fiber is really important. So, you know, your digestive system has a natural peristaltic action it's stimulated by fiber, and there's no fiber in meat. There's no fiber in eggs. There's no fiber in chicken. There's no fiber in fish. There's no fiber in poultry of any kind. And that's something, you know, because these different diets go back and forth. They swing one way and then it swings another way. But if you don't have that vegetable fiber in your diet, then you cannot tonify your intestines. You know, your intestines require, it's like your muscles require work. You got to go lift things and move things to build muscle. Well, your intestines require fiber to do the same. So I want to put that out there first. Second is getting your food sorted so it's not such a mishmash, which means that, like, let's say you like, I don't know, people like fish and potato and salad, maybe that's going to be their meal. Instead of that combination of the starch and the protein together, have one or the other. Either just have the fish and the salad or the potato and the salad. But when you mix the protein with a starch, there are different enzymes required to digest them. So you weaken the digestion of either one. Now you could have more of each. You know, let's say you're like, well, look, I want some food. Well, have two potatoes or two fish, but not mixing them together. Those pieces of advice are really important. So again, the fiber and then getting everything simplified in a meal. And then the next one is finding the appropriate superfoods for you, you know, in the situation that you're in. Like, for example, I eat chocolate every day. I grow chocolate trees. I'm a fanatic for cacao. That's how Kai and I actually originally met, was over cacao. Cacao is the original nut that all chocolate is made out of. It's the most widely eaten nut in the world that nobody even knows is a nut. nobody knows what it is. It's amazing. Imagine, Jeremy, if I came to you and I said, hey, here's almond oil, here's almond powder, here's almond butter. And then like 10 years later, I was like, hey, here's an actual almond. And you're like, what is that? That's how it is with chocolate. You know, we have all these chocolate products. We never get back to the real thing. So I have the real thing every day. And that's my favorite superfood, most nutritious nut in the world. Super high in magnesium, super high in phosphorus. And that magnesium-phosphorus combination is really good for bones. And then I'll add into that, you know, once I get the superfoods in there that I like, again, I like cacao, I like maca. I've been doing a lot of maca, M-A-C-A. That's what you really want to target towards. So, you know, instead of trying to get it all from food, the food's depleted. There's not enough nutrients in the food these days. That's just the way, it's just, you know, there's way too much farming that's, you know, raping the earth in a way that's really hostile to the environment and to the birds and the bees and everything else. So I really recommend going more towards, yeah, definitely have, you know, your stable meals. And as you get older, you'll find out you can't eat as many of those whole, you know, three square meal type of things. You can't do that anymore. You have basically one good meal a day. And then in between that, you do superfood. So like, for example, right now I'm having local strawberries that were grown down the road, and kale that was grown down the road. And what else we throw in here? Threw in a little bit of olive oil for my friends in Toronto. And what else? Basil, the basil that we picked right from outside the door. And that's not really, you know, that's just like a lunch. But you see, there's not much there.
Yeah.
But that's what you want. Like if you want to lose weight, you want to eat something like that because there's no calories in that, but it's filling because of the fiber.
Right.
And then, right, so, you know, dinner, I'll have one full actual meal today. You know, that's where I'm at with my diet. It's like basically 1.5 meals a day.
I got it. Yeah. So fiber is the most, fiber and superfoods then are probably the two most important. And, you know, the maca and the cacao, like what are the, you know, should we just be getting those from like a local farmer's market or a health food store? I mean, where do you, you know, what's the best source? I mean, especially in the Northwest, because I don't think we really have any cacao trees here.
No, it's cacao's tropical, and it's just so everybody knows that cacao is, you know, the food that all chocolate's made out of. It comes from the tropics, and so you have to find your favorite sources. I've had, you know, I was having some of this, we had some paste, you know, which is the ground up chocolate with no sugar, nothing in it. It's kind of like, you know, if you made almond butter. It's the same thing if you do cacao, you just grind it up and just let it solidify. It forms like a chocolate bar, but there's no sugar or anything in it. And it was really, I didn't really like the quality of it. It was really interesting. And so, you know, I had to change what I was throwing in my smoothie because the quality of that particular product was no good. And you have to go through those experiments. You know, you have to go, let me just try this one. And you can find them in health food stores. You can find it on the internet. There's places to look for this stuff. And cacao, by the way, is spelled C-A-C-A-O. Most of us have seen the word cocoa, C-O-C-O-A, but we're like, what the heck does that mean? Actually, it's just the British misspelling of the original word, which is C-A-C-A-O. And you just have to experiment. With maca, it's the same. You have to just go, let me try this brand. I'll try that brand. It is in health food stores. You can get it. It's even in regular grocery stores these days. But you want to get organic. You want to get something that's interesting and looks good. And then, you know, try it out. But then you might do what I did, which is everything looked good, but that product was no good. And so I had to abandon it.
I totally understand. So talk about juicing a little bit. I know I've seen a few interviews with you where you talk about the importance of juicing. So I'd love for the audience to hear kind of your insights on that.
One of my favorite times of the year is when the fruit season's hitting here. I'm up in Ontario, Canada right now. So I have a farm here and I have a farm in Hawaii. And my farm in Hawaii is my cacao farm, which we usually ship, you know, a lot of, about once a month we ship stuff from there to here, and that's where I get most of my cacao from. But every now and then I'll get something off the internet or something like that. Anyway, when we're up here in the you know, we're in the middle of the fruit season, we've got lots of things to juice, and there's just nothing like it. There's just, you take fresh picked apples off these trees and you juice them with like fresh vegetables. You can't beat that high. It's the best high probably there is. And so that's a beautiful thing, is that people don't know that. So they get to experience that for the first time. And it's one of the most sensational thrills. It's a thrill when you really get into juicing, you're doing it every day. You're like, okay, we're going to do 2 weeks every day we're doing this. It's amazing, that charge and that thrill you get. And that's how I feel about juicing. It's just one of the most important things to transform your health quickly, and your tissue quality You know, people are eating food that's cooked, dried out. There's no water content in it. But when you have fresh juices, especially vegetable juices, you get all that water content and it's real. It's like, that's just, it's amazing. Comes right out of the tree, right out of the ground, right into you. Quick. Can't beat it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I remember Kai back about 10 or 15 years ago used to, whenever he would travel back here to Washington, he would have an extra suitcase just with a, just for his blender. That he had like a some super powered blender to do juicing, and he'd get us all on juice, like a juice Vitamix. Fast for a week.
The Vitamix. And those were back. That was the Chocolate Jedi days. It was when David and I first met, when he was the traveling cacao salesman.
I love how that just keeps coming back. That is, that's still going on. It's really the best ever.
Yeah, and that's when you're having these discoveries that, hey, if I actually blend cacao nibs with some nut milk or something and add a few other ingredients, I actually feel really, really good. And that was one of the discoveries as we connected. So I got super into that. And I got a question for you, Avo. A couple of different foods pop up and I just wonder what your take is and what you might like replace it with.
Okay.
Because that's one of the big things I find is that it's easy to say no to things, but what are you actually replacing it with? Right.
Right. Like, what are you saying yes to? And saying yes to something else easily replaces the other thing is the point.
Right.
You're
driving at. Yeah. And that one's where it gets hard. Right. So like I've had a hard time, for example, I'm trying to get off coffee. Right. But I'm into coffee. Yeah. I know Jeremy enjoys a cup of coffee. What would you replace if you were us and we were just, our body was telling us that maybe coffee is not the best thing ever that we want. I know coffee has a lot of chemicals. Usually, you'd have to get a very special coffee to make sure that it didn't have chemicals or the micro mold, which is in there. My body's telling me and my intuition's telling me back off the coffee. What would you, what's your take on that and what could be a good replacement for a cup of coffee in the morning?
Okay. So if you're looking for a stimulant, for example, every morning I don't have a meal. I actually have a big chocolate drink with all the superfoods in it, like the maca. And then I throw a bunch of herbs in it too, that I really like. Like for example, I like a lot of the Chinese herbs. We don't want to get into that right now, but that's a very important conversation to have at some point is it really your diet over your life needs to look like food, superfoods and herbs, really super herbs. That's really a natural human diet. Because we've been living in civilizations, the herbalism and all the wild herbs of this forest, for example, just kind of lost in the mix of all that stuff. But anyway, bringing it back to the point at hand, the strategy is to figure out like, okay, are you looking for a stimulant? Then you might want to go to yerba mate or hot chocolate, or you want to go to another guayusa for another stimulant drink and stimulant tea that you could have that's not coffee. If you're lucky enough to be in Peru or South America, it's easy to get coca. Actually, in the United States, you can get coca leaf tea, which is also a really good stimulant that's not coffee. The problem with coffee is the tannic acid, and it's relatively high in most coffees. And tannic acid is good for you in small amounts like everything else, and it's a medicine. And then it's a problem in large amounts. And what it does, it irritates the bowel, the stomach, and the kidneys. And it literally causes gut rot if you're drinking down this, like Denny's coffee, or up here in Canada, we have Tim Hortons coffee. It's just this like really way too many tannic acids in it. And those weak acids add up over time and cause problems. So you're going to have to replace, at least for periods of time. So you do, maybe you go off coffee for a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year. And then if you go back to it, you have to take time off of it. If you're sensing that it's causing you a problem, which Life Extension Magazine and Dr. Mercola did extensive research on this and collated all the data on coffee over years. And they found that just like every other herbal medicine, because coffee is an herbal medicine, coffee is really good for some people and it's not for others. Just like everything else. And so the people who it's really good for, they just know it. They don't sense they need to stop it. They don't sense any problems with it. and it's an easy thing for them. But other people that I talk to, especially in the health community, are a little bit more sensitive, and they're like, I need to get off the coffee. What do I do? And if you need that stimulant, switch to chocolate, switch to yerba mate, switch to guayusa, switch to coca tea, which you can actually get in the U.S., not Canada, but you can get that in the U.S. And then you'll feel like a different type of stimulation, but not the heaviness, which is the tannins, the tannic acid, which weighs you down.
And then one more question, Jeremy, if I could, is what are your thoughts on bananas?
Ooh, I grew up with bananas and peanut butter, right? That was like a thing. So every now and then I'll go back to that just for fun. You know, if I'm in a situation like I'm in the tropics, because we grow bananas, you know, in Hawaii, we have so many bananas. Not even funny, it's a weed. We're trying to get rid of the bananas so much. And you get, when they hit, you get a big rack that's like this big. It's just wild. But generally, there's too much sugar in bananas and there's no seeds. And I do grow bananas with seeds, and they're much smaller, and the seeds are very interesting. And they taste a little bit like walnuts, actually. But they have really strong banana flavor, so they're kind of neat. They're kind of fun to just throw into a smoothie. You take a couple of those bananas, throw them into a smoothie, and you get the nut with the banana at the same time. That's how it is naturally. All these hybrid bananas with no seed in it is just a sugar bomb, really. That's why we have that instinct to eat it with peanut butter or something else, almond butter, for example.
What is the seed? Is that just providing fiber for you then? And is that the idea?
The idea is that when you eat like a fruit with its seeds, you're not getting that intense sugar hit because the oils and the fats in the seeds buffer the sugar to some degree, so you don't absorb all that sugar so quickly.
I see.
And that's why.
I see. Do you have something else, guys? Sorry, you look like you're...
Yeah, I mean, one thing is that I know, Avo, that Jeremy's really looking at this as an opportunity for, you know, to be self-reflective, almost like he's a case study or he's kind of a guinea pig in a way, for other folks who are dealing with paralysis to find, you know, to test different lifestyle choices to extend the projected longevity, because there will be a cure. That's why it's live to walk again, because we're going to live, you know, at some point it's going to happen, whether we fast track it or not, it's coming. So, you know, Jeremy's had, and myself too, I've been having a little trouble with our weight. And me, I've put on a couple pounds, you know, too many right now. So I'm curious, you know, and where Jeremy also has a struggle is obviously he only can really move one of his arms. I mean, Jeremy, can you describe your state of paralysis?
Yes, I'm a quadriplegic, so I'm paralyzed from the chest down, and I can move my right arm pretty well. That's what I use to control my wheelchair. I don't have any like fine motor skills, but you know, I can move my right arm, my left arm just a little bit. And so I do like weight work with some weights I strap on to try to, you know, do a little bit, but it's not really cardio. I do a lot of breathing exercises and things like that. But, you know, that's kind of the extent.
Because we're on this subject, Kai and Jeremy, I do want to mention that I did one time I met with a group of doctors at UCLA whose specialty is paralysis, and I got into their protocol, which was very interesting. Number one was nutrition, which is very important. And I do want to emphasize that very, very strongly to everybody. You have to get your nutrition sorted out, and you have to eat more stuff like this, you know, which is strawberries and kale and basil and stuff like that, that has very little calories, but a lot of fiber. And that's really the type of food that's really good for you. And again, it tonifies the digestive tract, because that digestive tract needs that as it's exercise. But another thing that we're onto is doing stem cell treatments. And then the other thing that we're onto is the zapper. So I do want to put a little thing about this, because I drilled them on there. They're like, oh, we got this electrostim device. It's really helping. I was like, what is it exactly? And they're like, oh, it's this electrostim. I'm like, how does it work? Let me guess. It's a positive offset square wave output. And they're like, how did you know? And I eventually found out it was a zapper. Now, what's a zapper is one of those things that, you know, it works because the corporate media just goes, that's some kind of phony thing, or, you know, some kind of new age garbage, or, you know, that, you know how they, because they always go for their big, you know, ticket items is what they're trying to sell, their big drugs. Right. Anyway, so I do want to put a little word out there about Zappers and investigating them. And now a good friend of mine, I used to make these and I will make them again in the future. My good friend Don Croft used to make them. He passed away in a hang gliding accident last summer. But you could still find his product online, which is his Terminator 2 Zapper, which it was interesting because you would think that you'd put this below or above the injury, right? You know, because it's an electrostim device. And they found out at UCLA you put it below the injury.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. And they had very strong results. So that's, let me just go over those three again. One is the nutrition, absolutely critical, very important. Number two, and by the way, I do want to add one more on nutrition before we let that go. Number two is the stem cell treatments. And then number three is the Zapper. Now, you can hunt one of these down on the internet. I don't know, it's $50 to $100. You can get a Zapper that will last you. I mean, these things can be beat up. I've had this thing for 10 years. They're really durable. And, you know, I just turn this on. You can see it zapping right there. And then those two electrodes would be literally just go on my back. So a lot of times when I'm sitting in a flight or something like that, I'll just put it right on my tailbone. So it's hooked. You can see it's got a little hook right here that hooks onto my pant. And then that goes against my skin like that right there. And when you first start using Zappers, they can zap you, meaning you'll feel a little bit of an electrical charge, be like, oh, I'm feeling something there. And you have to be careful not to put it in one place too long. But gradually as your body gets used to it, then it's, you could leave it there all day, 24 hours straight. And that's what I recommend definitely in any paralysis case. Use a Zapper. You'd be shocked. You know, I very badly injured a tendon in my leg in October. And even though I'm up and walking around and stuff, people don't really realize how bad the injury is because it's a tendon injury. You know, and you know, Jeremy, you know, you've dealt with these types of injuries, probably since your accident or whatever happened. And what happens is it takes a while for them to heal. So I started putting a Zapper on that. I was amazed, really right. Amazed.
Put it right on the...
Right on it.
Yeah, wow.
You'd say, what could... I don't know what the mechanism of why it's working is, but it works and it helps it for sure. And it's like, wow. And that was just... I was just like, well, you know, I'm dealing with this for months now. I might as well just try something. And that was back in November, December. It really helped me get through those first few months of that injury. Now I'm a lot better, but I should actually put it on there right now. I should still use it. So just wanted to throw that out there. Do want to go back to nutrition, cycle back to that real quick. One of the most important discoveries I've made in my career, and I'm really a big voice for this, I'm the biggest voice for it in the world, is the importance of activated charcoal for health and longevity. There's nothing better for your, that's going to increase your longevity and health, that's something you can actually take and ingest in your body than activated charcoal. And that's such a shocking statement. That came from many, many year, decades of research. Eventually I stumbled across it and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like people know there's no voice for this. No one's talking about this. Activated charcoal extends life in animals longer than any other substance by far. It's not even a close second. For example, let's say you took olive oil. Olive oil is excellent for longevity. Again, coming back to this, make sure you have your salad with not, you don't need much in there. Maybe half an avocado, some, you know, fun things, strawberries, whatever's in season at that time. Olive oil can increase human lifespan by 9 to 18%, and that's also true of all mammals. But bigger than that, way bigger than that, is activated charcoal. Any single thing you could take which can increase lifespan, check this out, by anywhere from 21 to 47%.
Wow.
47%, which means that, like, I think if we were just in a perfect state of nature and everything, we probably are supposed to get 100 years. You know what I mean? Even with all the pollution, all the toxicity and maybe, stress and everything, you know, like probably a human's supposed to get 100 years. I think that's a reasonable assumption.
Right.
40%, let's just say 40% increase of lifespan means you're going to 140. That's how crazy that is. This has been repeatedly proven study after study after study for 70 years in animals.
So how do you take, what form do you take activated charcoal in?
Okay, good question. So the way I do it is, there's, look at my activated charcoal. It's absolutely filled to the brim right now. I just topped this one up last night. And I have it in capsules, which is easy, so it doesn't get everywhere. That's a really easy way to do it. And you don't need much. This is a 400 milligram capsule. One of these a day, two of these a day. That's it. Right when you get up in the morning with your water, when you go to bed at night with your water, that's it. And it's just very easy. You don't need, it's not about a volume. It's about consistency.
Okay.
And the way it works, as far as we can understand from the research on it, is it improves and assists detoxification, which again, especially if you're immobile, you need help, right? You need help with detoxification because your tissue and your lymph system's not moving the way, you know, say somebody who's walking around is. So we're going to need to, we need extra help in that department. So that's, I really wanted to put that into our conversation today.
That's great. Yeah, I'm going to look into that for sure. I wanted to talk, I've seen, you know, a few things. I know Kai's big on mushrooms. I know I've seen a lot of things about you using mushrooms, reishi, and things like that.
Lion's mane. We talked about.
I saw like a 10-year-old interview where you were talking about reishi mushrooms. But anyway, yeah, can you talk about kind of the health benefits of mushrooms and just any other kind of supplements that you really are your kind of your go-to supplements that you take on a regular basis or would suggest somebody, you know, in my situation taking on a regular basis?
Okay. So in terms of the super herbs, I guess we'll tap into that a little bit. Cause remember, to me as a nutritionist all these years, it's about food and then superfoods and then super herbs. And through the ages of our life, when you're young, it's more about food and maybe you tap into superfoods and that kind of thing. As you get older, it's more about superfoods and then and the herbs. And then eventually it's all about the herbs, you know, as time goes on, because you don't need all the calories. You know, you're already constructed. You don't really need all that stuff. So I do want to put that one in there first, that the super herbs do play a role. And the best of the super herbs for most of us are the medicinal mushrooms. And the medicinal mushrooms, like lion's mane, have nerve growth factors in them. And are very, very important. I have it every day. I had it this morning. I always have lion's mane every day. And lion's mane actually grows in the forest near my house here, which is really cool to see. So big proponent of reishi, big proponent of shaga mushroom, big proponent of lion's mane mushroom, big proponent of turkey tail mushroom. So if you get those what are called medicinal mushrooms in there somewhere, small amounts, start, you know, investigating, start looking into it. It's really good. Now, the next thing that on that list is the supplements. For nerves and nerve growth, my number one supplement is actually right here, which is the Symbiotica The Omega, which is the pure DHA, which is the omega-3 fatty acid. So you need actually three different types of omega-3 fatty acids, DHA, EPA, and ALA. DHA and EPA are marine in origin. They come from the ocean originally, and they are the origin of our consciousness, to be very blunt about it. It's one of the things that makes you human. Your brain consists of an enormous amount, and eyes consist of an enormous amount of DHA, docohexaenoic acid, which is the 22-chain carbon that originates in phytoplankton in the ocean. Now, for nerves and regrowing nerve tissue into what actually starts to construct nervous systems on Earth in the animal kingdom, this is the substance that you need. And so this is, I do about 10 squirts of this. The reason why I like this, you could do this, you can get that from fish oil. You can get that from krill oil, but those are up the chain, right? And then you got ocean pollution and plastics and all the other stuff going on. So what we do is we go directly to the origin of it, which is the marine phytoplankton that produces it. That's how the fish get it. That's how salmon and trout develop the omega-3 fatty acids. They don't create it in their bodies. They eat it and they concentrate it. So it's just a cool format like this. My cousin perfected this product. I had been working on it for like 8 years. And I think Kai knows I had several of these products out there. You couldn't get it right, but he got it right. So it's just like this. Done. That's it. Tastes good. And that's what my cousin was able to do. He was actually able to deliver a product that tasted good, because with DHA and omega-3 fatty acids, a lot of times they taste fishy, but that one doesn't.
Nice. And so do you sell that, or your cousin sells that? Like how, that particular product? Yeah,
we both sell that product. That's called Symbiotica with a C, C-Y-M-B-I-O-T-I-K-A. Symbiotica The Omega. And if you ever want to track me down, my shop is at shop.davidwolf.com, W-O-L-F-E. That's where all my stuff is. And I used to, for many years, I was a big business guy, you know, and Kai knows this, back in the old days, you know, with the superfoods and all that. And then that company got into the wrong hands, and just I had to leave that company and then started over again, built a whole nother company. Then those business partners basically stole it, and then their whole company collapsed. I don't know. It was just silly. So this third time I'm doing it all myself. Yeah. And I'm much happier for it, I got to tell you. And I might build up back into the superfoods like before, but right now I just carry very key things like that to me are the most important areas of nutrition.
I got a quick one here, Jeremy, because I know we're getting close on time. So David, let's say we were to revisit in 3 months, right? And we were able to give Jeremy and myself, but you know, this show is specifically for people with challenges with paralysis. So you know, it all, as we know, in the longevity world, that you know, we've both been to 100, 200, 300, 400 conferences. The routine is really everything, because every day it's our routine, and that compounded over time is what's going to give us our results. Now, within that routine, you've talked about some of the key things that we need to do. One that happened in the beginning that was a key piece of information, which we don't want to forget, is that the food combining, right? Because it's so interesting, Jeremy, that you know, a sandwich is
a classic miscombination,
right? Is starches and protein, right? And that's what we're all reared on in terms of our mentality. But actually, from a digestion point of view, and I've heard this too, David, is that, you know, I've heard experts talking about the same thing and saying exactly what you're saying, that it does matter, you know, what you're eating, and making it simple so that you can digest it. And I know you love sweet potatoes and some of those different types of foods. And then the other thing is how often we're eating, right? It's the intermittent fasting. It's when we're giving our body a break, so that if we did take the activated charcoal, for example, that it can, when it's in that detox process, that it's going to be toxic, because our metabolism is either in a state of growth and digestion, or it's in a state of repair and detoxification. And that's this whole thing about activating mTOR and how much protein you eat and how often you eat and all this stuff. But the bottom line is that caloric restriction without malnutrition, limiting the amount of calories that come in, tightening that window up of when you are taking food. It sounds like from this conversation, you're recommending one meal a day, and then a smaller meal potentially that's fiber rich, that could come in before like a light lunch, or maybe you reverse it. Maybe you have a heavier lunch and a lighter meal later, which is probably what you'd want.
Either way, one of those two, people will find out what works for them best, but yes, keep going. You're right on track.
And so maybe also in the sense of the coffee replacement, maybe we're brewing a chaga rishi, a lion's mane, tea with a few squirts of this, fat product to sort of get our body in a ketosis spot for a second to want to digest those fat molecules and bring it in. You know, so let's say Jeremy's out of bed by 10:30 every day in the morning, basically. And he's in bed by, let's say, 9:30. Okay. So for those 11 hours, he's got a routine. So what we want to get here is a situation where 3 months from now, he's lost some weight, he's feeling really good, and he's on a real nice path forward. So could you take us through maybe an ideal kind of what an ideal sort of routine would look like for Jeremy, in your mind, just based on some of the things that we talked about, just generally?
Okay. Yeah. First things first is when you get up in the morning and you drink water, that's when you're going to take your 400 milligrams of charcoal. Maybe it's going to be 500 milligrams. It depends on what the capsule is. It depends on what the product is. But basically, you're going to take your activated charcoal that first thing in the morning and drink water and just do that for an hour or two before you break your fast with breakfast, right? And then for me, I'm going to blend up a superfood hot chocolate, which, you know, I throw all the medicinal mushrooms in there. I throw maca in there. I've got cacao in there. I don't throw banana in there because it's going to jack up my blood sugar too much. And, you know, if somebody really wants like banana, which is real high octane fuel, they also got to be able to exercise that off, right? Because you're looking at a lot of sugar there. So anyway, I'll do something that's more like coffee-like because it's got like almond butter in it, or I'll do like an almond milk will be in there. And so it's more, people would look at it and go, that's like a coffee, but there's no coffee in it. And it's all superfoods blended into chocolate. So you might want to experiment with that.
Do you, sorry to cut you off, but do you do the same like recipe every day for that? Or do you just kind of throw in what you have handy there at the house?
I throw in what's around and I mix it up. So for example, the base of that's going to be a tea. right? Because it's a hot chocolate, so it's going to be hot water. But I don't just throw hot water in there. I've got reishi and chaga mushroom, you know, which are the king and the queen of the medicinal mushrooms growing here in the forest. So I make, that's in the tea, and that's going in there every day. But every now and then, you know, after a while, you know, you pour the tea out and the chaga makes the tea dark. But after a while, it starts to go back to, you know, light because the chaga's run out of nutrients. And then I'll switch it around and I'll throw other herbs in there. Maybe I'll throw, like, I really like equisetum, which is horsetail. It's a really good one for bones and teeth. And I'm going to be 50 in 3 weeks, dude. I'm going to be 50 in 3 weeks. And so I've got to start doing a different, you know, mix because of my age. So that's what I want to talk through as we get through the different, you know, day parts of the day. After, let's say, an hour or two after drinking water and activated charcoal in the morning, which is really a good strategy. Then as soon as you're like, okay, I got to have something, next thing is going to be some kind of a blended smoothie thing of some sort or fresh juice, whatever you're into at that moment. Because I'm a blender guy, I'm the Nutribullet guy. So said it for people who know what Nutribullet is. I developed that blender with a crew in LA and that's been my, you know, my main thing for 10 years. So I'm going to have that blended drink in the morning rather than juices. Not that I'm against juices, as you know. Then when we roll around to like late lunchtime, let's say, you know, like it's already, you know, 4:14 my time right now, and I still haven't even finished my lunch. And then in that stretch between your morning drink and your lunch, you want to stretch it without having any kind of major meal or any kind of food, because every time we eat something, we're activating that digestive cascade. We're influencing our blood sugar. And generally we want to tighten that window down, as Kai was referencing, so that either when we do eat stuff, we just do it then. And then in between the next thing, we don't have anything. And anyway, when I get to the evening dinner, then it's going to, and then I might snack on an apple or fruit. Fruit's really good for snacks in the afternoon rather than a bar. Or if I really want, feel like I need protein, then I'll do a protein drink. I'll blend something up, but generally light calorie. And that's what I'd recommend for you, Jeremy, is like, you know, fruit in the afternoon or something that's light calorie. And if you need something that's going to keep your blood sugar stable, maybe eat walnuts or things that I like almonds and walnuts and pistachios are, you know, common here. Then you get to the evening and then you're going to have your one major meal with a salad, And then that's also a time when you have that big meal, you can have like a fizzy drink, like a kombucha or something that has carbonic acid in it to help with the digestive cascade. People ask me that a lot. Like, is it okay to have carbonated stuff? Now, I'm not a soda drinker and don't recommend soda, but let's say it was like a kombucha. Yeah. If you have that with dinner, the carbonation helps to digest your food. It's an assistant. And so I am a fan of especially naturally carbonated water. And I've been to naturally carbonated springs in Iceland that were just absolutely amazing, bubbling out of the ground. And it's, you drink it, it's bubbly, sparkling water. It's really cool. Anyway, so the next piece is then you go into the night. Now, if I'm really being real disciplined, then I'm not going to eat, you know, late into the night after, like, I don't know, 11 or 10 o'clock. Usually we eat dinner late here, but then the light's out late here because we're far north. And then somewhere in the evening, I might have like, you know, something fun or, you know, the chocolate or something like that. But if you're really strict about your diet, then you don't want to have stuff late at night. Just go to bed instead. And I'm generally burning the midnight oil quite a bit. So,
well, it's, yeah, good. Jim's a little different.
Yeah, one thing good about my situation is I can't like get up and go snack in the middle of the night. So I'm pretty much stuck in bed. I can only, you know, I have water to drink and that's about it. So I pretty much, you know, after I eat dinner, I try not to eat anything else for the rest of the night. Except for I use some like cannabis chocolate. I usually take that right before I go to bed to like help me sleep. But I guess maybe that's not a great thing either, like reactivating my, you know, reactivating everything instead of fasting all the way through.
Maybe you could take that with dinner or something like that, Jeremy, and try to
take it earlier or closer to dinner.
Yeah.
Or get a chocolate that doesn't have sugar in it. Like, you know, there's a company out there, Lily's, that does a chocolate that has no sugar in it. We Sacred Chocolate, my chocolate company, we do chocolates with no sugar in it, like no real sugar. So right. You don't get the strong, you know, sugar blast. Because a lot of chocolate out there, even if it's organic and good, has cane sugar in it, and that's going to spike your blood sugar.
Yeah. Okay. That's that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So you like that? You like that routine then, Jeremy?
And yeah, then I'm going to, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to order some of that activated charcoal and you know, get some of the mushrooms on. ordered up and ready to go.
Yeah, I've been encouraging him to even grow the lion's mane out there because I think it grows pretty wild in Washington State.
It does, and you, it's actually pretty easy to do. You can actually order from these websites. They're called plug spawn. So like you plug, they're these little pieces of wood like this big, and you just get a drill and you just get a bunch of logs in the backyard. That they've got to be relatively freshly cut, so they're not loaded with other types of mushrooms. But if say the neighbor's cutting down a tree, or you have a tree cut down or something like that, you're going to dice that up, pile them up in the backyard, make sure it stays wet, and you just drill holes into the wood, and then you pound those little plugs in there. And what those plugs have is they have the mushroom organism on it. And so the mushroom organism will multiply into the wood and take it over, and eventually you're going to have like a little mushroom production operation, which is really cool. It's really fun. And we've done that many times over the years. And I reverted just going back to the wild stuff because there's so many wild mushrooms here. It's like one of our major foods, and it's just easier because nature does it. You don't have to do anything.
Right. Well, I'm going to definitely look at it. I've looked a little bit at it. Kai's been pressuring me to get on the growing some of those. But the one thing I wanted to touch on before we let you go, David, was I have a Kangen water machine. Kai had inspired me to get one of those probably 10 years ago now, give or take. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, alkaline versus acidic, things like that. Water, you know, what you suggest for water source, because Kai is still worried about the water coming, even though it's coming through the Kangen machine, he's worried that it's coming from the city pipes. And, you know, what are your thoughts on water?
Yeah, and I just want to throw one thing in before you answer that, David, is that I've been encouraging him to get some sort of glass bottled spring water source as well. So that, you know, the alkaline filter, the electrolysis filter on the tap is fine. That's definitely a lot better than the city water that's coming through, but I'm still concerned about chemicals in the city water and all these other things in the city water. And I want more diversity in the water. And I've been a big advocate for glass bottled spring water in some way, shape or form. So I guess we know water is a dynamic and important conversation here. So that's the question.
Okay. Number one thing I want to say about water is that with your Kangen, you want to have a pre-filter on that. You want to have some kind of a pre-filter before it goes into the Kangen machine in most ecosystems, not everywhere. Some, like my water here, comes out of the tap at 14 parts per million. I mean, I could spray my windows all day long. And as long as there's no tea in there, as long as it's just water, when it dries, there's no scale. There's nothing anywhere on anything. We don't have scale on our water. But if you do, then you need a pre-filter on a Kangen machine. So that's my position there. Now, I do spend a lot of time hunting down wild spring water. This house is actually on spring water, not well water. It's actually on a spring. And if you ever get a chance to have that water fresh from the source, that's the best, because that's the real, it's like having fresh vegetables blended, you know, or juiced right from out here, and suddenly it's in your body, and that's the real thing. And the earth filters the water better than anything else. That's how we've developed all these different cartridges and filters. It's earthy material. It's like calcium, carbon, right? Charcoal filter. Think about that, right? And then little pebbles, and it's just how the earth filters it, the way the earth does it, which is always something to learn from. What else can I say about that? There is a company, I think they're running findaspring.com now, that delivers spring water in glass to you. And so that may be something you want to think about too, and really cool bottles. That's the guy, you know, those bottles, it's the Flower of Life bottles. Now, I'm trying to think of the name of that company. Maybe, hey, Rubina?
We can get a link. We can get a link post call and put it under
and pop it in.
Yeah.
It's Fountain of Youth. We're going to just check. We'll make sure we get that link, but I think it's called Fountain of Youth Water, and they're out of Oregon and they deliver to Washington State. So you can get it in the whole, I think actually they deliver to the entire Western whole seacoast from California through to Washington State.
Yeah. We're actually really lucky here in Olympia, Washington. There's a great natural spring in downtown Olympia, but with the COVID-19, they shut all that down, not letting people go in there to get it right now.
That was like an artesian spring. World, yeah. You know, and even that one, I was looking at it, and because you could just go fill up there downtown Olympia with an artesian spring. And I thought that that could be a more of an option as well, could just have the two different styles of water going on. But I think what David is talking about is that this company is that he's mentioning has probably got some really good statistics on the water that they're sourcing and bringing to you. Because even when I was looking at the artesian one, I was wondering a little bit about it in certain ways.
Right.
Okay, so it's on Instagram. They're called Live Spring Water.
Live Spring Water, okay.
On Instagram, LIVE Spring, SPRING Water, WATER. So that's something to look for is that company. They're great people. And I think they got their start at one of our longevity conferences, if I recall correctly.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice.
Yeah, and Jeremy, okay, before, cool. before we go, because he has to go, is Did you have a question, Jeremy, about Machu Picchu or Peru?
I know you guys went up there at some point and wanted to just kind of, I don't know if you guys wanted to tell an abbreviated story about that. I know Kai ended up staying there for like 6 months basically after that trip, but yeah, go ahead. I just would like to hear about.
Well, Jeremy likes to also, you know, he's planning places to go when he's walking again. And I think one of the ones that are on his target is up there in the mountains. And yeah, I originally went up to Cusco because David was leading a retreat there, a holistic retreat, eating, you know, superfoods and healthy foods, and then visiting all these sacred sites. And I liked it so much that, you know, I stuck around. By the time everybody was leaving, I was staying back and had an apartment downtown. And, you know, I was supposed to stay 10 days. I stayed 6 months. That was one of the most incredible trips ever. I don't know. Avo, do you have any thoughts or anything you want to say to him about Peru, or something to look forward to when he's walking again?
Peru is really epic, really good. And you'd fly into Lima and then get the flight up into the mountains to Cusco. So it's a very high altitude. You're up at like 11 to 13,000 feet altitude. So it's, we're way up there. And this Highland Box Valley is the site of some of the most incredible ruins, absolutely impossible mystery level stuff. And Kai knows it well, from San Blas in Cusco all the way up into Sacsayhuaman. It's just inexplicable what's there. I've been looking at that mystery for 15 years. I can't get my head around what's there. There's no theory that's been put forth that makes any sense. It's just one of the most mysterious places ever. So you're going to start there, which I recommend, and that's going to be your first step. Then you're going to go from there. You'll drive over into the Sacred Valley and see some of the sites there. And then eventually you'll work your way down to Machu Picchu, which is kind of the crowning jewel of it all. And my personal favorite place on earth. And I think one of Kai's as well. So thumbs up for that mission and that goal.
Yeah, you come with us when you when you're up and walking again, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait. That'll be a blast. Well, it's
so special. It's just so special. Amazing.
I can't wait. I'm hoping Elon Musk has me walking here in a couple of years. So we'll see what happens.
Either way, the science is heading your way, Jeremy, whether it's Musk or another group or, you know, a combination of scientists.
Yeah, keep an eye on the stem cell research that's out there. And this combination that I'm telling you about of the nutrition with the stem cells and the zapper. You take a little electrostim device like this, can't do anything. It can do a lot. And it was really amazing what those guys figured out at UCLA using their electrostim and the progress that was made. So I am a big fan of all three of those.
Yeah, one more time, David. What was the name of your friend who passed away in the hang gliding accident, his zapper?
His name is Don Croft, but the name of his zapper is called the Terminator 2, like, you know, the Terminator, like,
right.
I'll be back. That, you know, that's an easy way to remember it. And right. It's a real cool little 9-volt battery device. It's not the one that I have in my hand here that I'm wearing right now is my personal zapper that I made, which, you know, you can also make zappers. If you got a good hand for electronics, it's not that hard to make them. And you can make them for probably, I don't know, $50, less than $50 in parts.
Okay. Great. Well, hey, David, I know you're busy, man. I can't thank you enough for taking the time out to come on the podcast. I'm sure everybody's going to be thrilled to hear this interview. And yeah, man, thank you so much.
thanks so much for having me. Kai, thanks for making this happen. And you guys have the best day ever.
We will, man. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Take care.
All right. So David Wolf, man, that was a very interesting 45 minutes or so that we got to spend with him. I already have my activated charcoal capsules on the way. They'll be here tomorrow, and I'm anxious to start those.
Yeah, I do have some of those. I have the Bulletproof brand.
And do you? Those are probably pretty legit then.
Yeah. So I've been reading about the activated charcoal, and specifically for gut health, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And that's where everything starts, right? It's your belly.
It's so true, man. It's so true. I'm anxious to try that. Yeah, when I was reading about it, when I ordered it yesterday, I read a little more into it, and it's basically like a detoxification, which is good.
The thing David was saying,
and you know, like especially dealing with people, like you're not moving, you know, if you're dealing with a spinal cord injury, you're not moving as much as somebody walking around, so your guts aren't able to, you're not able to detoxify as well. So
The thing that I didn't know, but now that I found out, it makes sense, and I don't know if this was touched on because I haven't heard the interview, is when you're taking the activated charcoal in the pill form, Jeremy, remember that, let's say you're taking other things, other vitamins, your other medicines, to not take those close to the same time, because the activated charcoal actually is going to soak all those up and not have the same potency.
Okay. Yeah. We did not talk about that in the interview with David, but, we did, or I did notice that when I was, when I was ordering them yesterday. So,
So it's like, you gotta have a kind of a time picked out where you're not going to take your other vitamins or your other pharmaceuticals.
Right. Well, he did say that, like, what he does in the morning is gets up for the first few hours he's awake. All he does is drink water and take a charcoal, capsule.
Yeah, then you don't have to worry about it affecting any of the other, you know, superfoods or vitamins that you're taking.
Yeah, and he talked up the cacao. You remember we talked about when Kai used to lug around his suitcase with the Vitamix in it.
When I met David Wolf, and I think he's always been on the cacao.
Yeah, he was like a cacao salesman, I think is what Kai said when he first met him.
Yeah, so he's been on that for a long time, and I have to say, I'm a fan of raw chocolate, man.
Yeah. Well, it's a total different thing, man. Like than a chocolate bar or
literally raw chocolate. I've usually get it in the nib type of
nibs.
A very bitter, like hard niblet, and then you can just like throw it in a smoothie. But yeah, you're talking cacao butters, you're talking powders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's...
He made the point, like, what if you had been shown, you know, almond butter and almond flour and almond, all these other things, but then somebody was like, this is an almond. You know, like, you've never seen an almond. You've only had, like, offspring of that almond. And not offspring, but you know what I'm saying. The products that come from that. And you wouldn't even know. You'd be like, what the hell is this almond? Like, oh, this is actually really good.
The cacao plant is that's a magnificent plant, right?
Yeah. I mean, and he made the point that cacao is actually that, you know, you hear about cocoa, COCOA,
mm-hmm.
and cacao is CACAO, and he said the British, I think, misspelled it, and that's why
there's cocoa
instead of it cacao. Being cacao. So anyway,
leave it to the Brits, man.
I'm pretty sure it was the Brits, don't quote me on
dang
that.
Dude, you just threw the Brits under the bus, man.
I'm 99% sure that's what he said, but anyway, so I hope everybody enjoyed that. I really had a great time interviewing David. Kai was on the on the podcast as well. I accidentally forgot to introduce him at the beginning.
Oh, he's a man. He's a man who needs no introduction.
Yeah, right. No doubt.
You know, like if you don't know Kai Bickle by now, when you hear him or when you see him,
if you don't know, now you know.
Who are you even?
Well, we will be back next week with another, I guess, another edition of our political 2020 political podcasts. We have Congressman, I guess he retired Congressman running for Washington State.
I mean, he's still serving right now.
Yeah, but he's
sessions over.
Yeah, sessions over. So anyway, he's retired Congressman Denny Heck, and he's running for Washington State Lieutenant Governor. Mm-hmm. We're going to record that interview here soon and have that up next week. So hope you all enjoyed. Again, please listen, like, review, share the podcast anywhere you can. We're on all platforms. So
and don't forget to send us Bitcoin.
All right, until next time, guys. Thanks.